Yeah,
That's real. And we are Inspire Her, the Total Woman podcast, a new podcast all about uplifting you.
Yes.
Because friends, face it, you are awesome.
We'll be chatting up about topics we love to talk about, all the things we as women must juggle every day and the ish we complain about.
But who's listening?
Girl,
we'll chat about the struggle, the job, and about him. Mm. You know who we're talking about.
Girl.
That boo, husband, boyfriend, ex, whatever you're calling them today.
Mm.
Our lovely hellions, kids.
Our angels. But seriously, friends, life happens, and we don't always get a chance to talk about it. We take it on the chin, and we keep it moving.
Because that's what we were told to do.
Yep.
But here on Inspire Her, the Total Woman podcast with Red and Fee, we are the friends you love to hang out with.
We are here to inspire her,
the Total Woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not new anymore. I need to edit that out.
Yeah, all you gotta do is drop off the new.
We are new, baby. We are a year old.
Yeah, some change.
Yes, I'm excited.
How are you? Hello, Auntie Val. How are you?
She popped right on, huh?
Girl, know.
We gotta send her a prize, a gift.
We do. What's going on? What's popping?
Everything.
We're in unison today with our shirts.
Yes, we are. Look, yes. Inspire Her, Total Woman. We got a lot going on. We just do. I got graduation. We are planning a class reunion. Let's say for anybody who will be watching this or watching this in replay mode, John F. Kennedy High School, that used to be in Richmond, Virginia, will be having a class reunion. 88 through 91.
Yeah.
We're going to descend upon Richmond, because guess what? You can take our building, but you can't take our Cougar Pride.
I know. High school was like the best years. We were talking about that earlier, how we just, I don't know, I just loved high school. Those were some really good years. Yes, we had a lot of fun.
I always talk about this, but you know what I'm getting ready to say. When Mr. McCallum, guys, we were in the band, we were flag girls, but more like dancing girls, really, with flags. But our band director got us off the bus. We like, where the heck are we? He had us marching through the woods. They had started the football game. The people didn't know where we were coming from. They just heard the band, a small band with the loud sound. Our drummers were all that.
Yes.
I think we got a penalty for stopping the game. Everybody heard us, but they didn't know where we were coming from. And we came out of the woods at the top of the hill, had to march down to the field. It was all that. But we got a penalty. Yes.
Wow. Look, it didn't hurt them. We ain't win a damn game. I don't think that we win the game.
See the band.
We see the band. Mr. McGee was awesome. Some of the stuff that he did, and I'm like, oh my goodness, the stuff that he put together, the shows he put together. We had the best drum majors, Ken and Marcus.
Yeah. Jump up. They used to jump up and do that split, boy.
Oh my goodness. Ken, little slim self, just marching with that whistle in his hand.
Y'all, John F. Kennedy in Richmond, Virginia was all that. I don't know about nobody else, but we had a blast at John F. Kennedy, and I commend all the teachers, principals,
yes,
and everybody, because they really showed up and showed out for us. So
I'm excited for the reunion. We got some good stuff planned. We just need to put some finishing touches on it, and we'll be ready to send it out. So you'll move it from 88 to 91. Make sure you get it, because tickets are going to go fast. It's a limited amount for such a large class. So yeah, it was a great school. It's a limited amount for a large class, so make sure y'all get y'all tickets to this class reunion.
Auntie went to John F. Kennedy, too.
Oh, what did I get? You a cougar, too. Did she went to Kennedy or when it was JFK? No.
She went to Kennedy.
Was it AK? Okay.
She was there before they even combined.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So listen, guys, today we are talking about a little touchy subject. We're talking about a little touchy subject. Are our children ready to thrive in the real world? Are they? Do you think they are?
I don't know. I was talking to a former teacher, Trina. I hope I'm gonna call her out. She's supposed to be coming in and adding her two cents to it. But first, we got something else we want to show. I know you have something that you want to show and talk about, and so do I.
Okay, you go first.
Me? Okay. So everybody knows my son Rodney wrote this book along with my sister-in-law Beth McLean and my nephew Teron. So it's called Superpower Activated, The Adventurous Tales of Maximus and O'Shea. So it's just a book about their friendship. And, you know, if anybody knows Teron and Ronnie, they've been BFF since the womb. Well, and that's since the womb, since they birthed them. I think Rodney was born in March and Teron was born in November before. But they just best friends, like brothers, and they just so excited. So the book is about bullying. It touches a lot of other things. It's really a children's book. So go out and buy. And I want to say last Wednesday, they made Amazon's best-selling list. So this wasn't the only one. So go cop your book from my son, Superpower Activated, The Adventurous Tales of Maximus and O'Shea. And I read a little bit of it. I ain't read it all. I'm sorry.
Listen, guys. I have a book also, and if you are my friend or anywhere near close to my social media, you've been hearing about this book for a while. It is called Removing the Fragments, A Healing Journey Through the Pieces of a Broken Heart. This is a collaboration between me and 11 other women. It was coordinated by Dio Greenway. Her name is Ifa Dio Greenway. This book, for lack of better words, holds a lot of heart stories and a lot of healing journeys that we went through. I put a message out there on social media yesterday that said I was a little skeptical about writing what I wrote in this book because it would allow people into my inner life that I don't really allow people to be a part of unless you are my family or my friends to know this story that I put in this book. My heart is on these pages. I let you all into a part of my life that wasn't so great for me, but I fought through it. And I'm on the other side to tell the story that if I can do it, anybody can do it. And a lot of people are doing it. Always believe in yourself and keep God right on the main line and you'll get through anything. So get your copy. It's on my page. It's on the group page. It's on our Inspire Her page. On June 10th, for those of y'all who are in Virginia Beach area, I will be in Virginia Beach to sign copies along with my other authors on June 10th. That flyer will also be on the page. You will not be able to purchase your book at the event. Well, I take this back. It will be limited copies purchased at the event because it's going to be at a library and they don't allow us to really sell. It shouldn't be a selling event. So you have to purchase your books from me ahead of time. So I will put the link there. You bring your book, you get it signed by every author. And we're also going to have a panel discussion. So, please support me. This is my second book, so you can buy any of my. This is my third book, but I'm only selling two of them. Rock Your Money is a financial book, and then Removing the Fragments. So,
awesome! Doing big things.
I'm trying, man. You got to do what you got to do, and this podcast is a part of that. We're doing what we want to do, what we love to do, and talking to you guys is a part of that. So,
yeah.
We are Sure, we're making it happen. Y'all gonna look around. Y'all better get on this bandwagon, because y'all gonna look around and y'all gonna see us on TV and y'all gonna be like, wait, hold up. I know them. We got a producer now. We gonna do some big things.
Oh, yeah, we do have a producer coming up. I'm excited about to get on that midnight train to Georgia to watch our little indie cross the stage next week.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I've gone through all of these graduations and everybody else was crying and I did not cry, but it wasn't mine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your only baby girl, and you expect us to believe that you're not going to cry.
My miracle baby, you mean?
Yeah.
Baby. I'm gonna be good.
Okay, I'll be reporting back the next time we're on whether she upheld that not crying thing.
We will see. We will see.
You want to put some money on it?
No. I'm not going to bet against myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not betting. Jayla, you supposed to be on my side.
Exactly, Jayla. We going to see. You know she going to cry. Or she going to cry in the car.
I'm going
to
cry.
Jayla, going with me. I'm so excited to have a little mother's daughter's trip. We're going to have a good time, Jayla.
And yes, Jayla, I am going to entertain you. Keep you entertained.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the topic. I want to know what y'all think.
Jayla, I'm glad you're on too, so you can get your feedback because she's a recent graduate. We need to get Indy on too. She's in the comments. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
India is in there in La La Land right now, sleeping. She's been practicing and they got these kids practicing for this graduation. Like it is a show on Broadway.
Yes.
We want to know, do y'all think our kids are ready to thrive in the real world? And why I started thinking that is because my child is the first generation graduating, going out on her own, that had started school during COVID. You know, so she's a COVID kid, and they waived some things. Like colleges waived, and I think they might have been doing that for the last 2 years. I'm not sure. They waived some colleges waived ACT, SAT test scores. They're doing something a little special for the kids, and I don't know. Our kids are going through like all of these videos that we're seeing. We're seeing videos of kids fighting teachers back. Parents allowing the kids to just go off and do what they want to do and expecting the teachers to pretty much take care of them, you know, make sure everything is good and not being a hands-on parent when it comes to school. I've heard so much about that from my teacher friends. Like when they call the parents is like, you supposed to take care of that. No. I'm supposed to make sure that my child's education is good, that she's doing what she's supposed to do. And if she's not, it's my responsibility, right? To make sure that I get on to her and say, look, one of these parents that kid got to fighting with a teacher or pushed or shoved her or something, they had her on camera on an interview, and she said she know better than that. That teacher did what they were supposed to do. I think the teacher, kind of had them in a little hold or whatever. And that parent said, you know, I don't blame that teacher for doing that because she knows better than that. That's the parent that I am. If you decide to hit or push or shove a teacher, unless that teacher is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, then as long as that teacher ain't trying to hurt my child, then.
But times have changed. Things are different. Back in the day when we grew up, we remember getting spankings with the teacher. Remember the paddles that they had in school? The teachers could spank us in school. That's not so much now. You know, that is, everything has changed. Times have changed. You know, back then we had the internet, but as far as the children ready to thrive in the real world, it's difficult, especially with the price of everything. We are taught if someone hits you, you hit them back. Yeah, but I think with the cost of living and everything, we know realistically a lot of these kids are not able to live on their own. So even if you go and I was talking to one teacher today, and she used to teach, and she was like, you just pushing them on through. They were told just to push the kids on through, and it's about numbers. And, you know, a lot of kids, they're not passing it. COVID did do a number on it, but even before COVID, there were some struggles in the classroom with the kids. So I don't think they're ready, but I think it's a community thing. The onus is not just on the teachers. It's on the parents. It's on the administrators. You know, the school counselors, the custodians, the cafeteria lady. I think everybody plays a part in it.
But some of these custodians and cafeteria ladies and teachers, some of them scared to say anything to these kids because of what they've gotten. Now, Jayla, I agree. I agree that you've been taught to defend yourself. I don't agree that you've been taught to get in a teacher's face and have to end up fighting a teacher. That, I don't think your mama taught you.
Some of these teachers, they burnt out. They have a hard day. They're not always in control. Some teachers don't have self-control either. And you having a bad day, a kid's poor behavior can really push you. And you constantly send them, if you send them to the principal's office, you constantly send them to the principal's office. You're trying to call the parent and stuff. Sometimes, you know, that's like a no-go. Or you can't, don't send them here because there's nothing we can do. We're going to talk to them and send them right back to the classroom.
I mean, but that doesn't give a teacher a right to put a hands on a child. But if that child put their hands on you, and some of these kids are just as big as we are now. And you have to be concerned about that. I think in two different ways. We're not teaching our kids how to handle money in the school, in a lot of schools. We're not teaching kids how to communicate well in some schools. We're not teaching kids how to get along with others. If you say something against what they're saying, they're ready to fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the former teacher said. You can't say anything to these kids. You have no support from the parents or the administration. And it's forcing teachers to want to quit and want to do something else.
And that's the problem, because I listen to my daughter, and I try to, and I know when she's telling a story and when she's telling the truth. And I listen to the teacher. Now, my daughter doesn't get into those situations, but sometimes with grades or something like that, I'm like, did you do your work? Yeah. The teacher said it's late. No, it wasn't. Well, 9 times out of 10, it was late. But some parents are like, well, my child said, well, your child not always right.
Right.
Child is not always right. And you should be a support for the teacher, not to automatically go against the teacher.
Right. And I'm about to say, today's kids are too grown and they think they know everything. And some take school as a joke. Today, some teachers can't talk to students, and it's sad because kids just don't have any respect for teachers or themselves. But that starts from home. And a lot of the kids, you know, sometimes the home life is so jacked up. Like, especially living in the inner city, you know what that child may have gone through the day before. You know, if they walk outside and it's ambulances and it's a dead body on the sidewalk, you know, it's a lot. It's traumatized. I can't get into sleep because they're shooting all night. My nerves bad. I'm anxious. So that could be a reason too.
It's not just kids living in the inner city no more.
Well, that's true too.
Got money as well. I work with kids who parents have money, and they got some real issues as well. But I remember when a teacher told me that they were gonna call my mama, I was doing any and everything to get you not to be not to call my mother, because I don't want to get it when I get home.
But parents are different these days.
I think I died one time.
Why do you think that was so, Kayla Pearl? She said it was interesting as a young female teacher. I did not receive the same respect as a male teacher. I can see that.
Come on here and talk to us about that.
Because the kids probably trying to hit on you. I mean, even when I was substitute teaching, that was like a maybe 22, 23. Them kids used to try to flirt with you and everything. I'm like, little boy, I'm grown. You know, you think about it, I was only a few years older than them, but still it was like they trying to shoot their shot with the teacher, with the teacher, and they will do that. Like, when they start doing that?
Some teachers will perform.
That's true.
I mean, but listen, what can we do to help our kids? There's some of the stuff that we've been seeing online. One was with a bus driver. The little girl got on there and she just went off fighting on the bus and they couldn't get her off. What you supposed to do?
I think they need to focus a little bit on mental health in the schools. I think they need to bring back, you know, cut out the separation between church and state. You know, that plays a part too. I think all of it, you know. Yeah, mental health is big, behavioral health, all of that kind of stuff. But I can see that they respecting a male teacher more so than a, you know, a lot of times they may have been like, that male teacher may have been the only role model they had, unfortunately. A lot of them, who knows?
You're right. But then these kids graduate out into the real world and they think that they can go and say and do these same things. And then the real world don't care. You can't call somebody on the real world. You go out there and you say something to somebody at the job or whatever and they haul off and hit you. Then what? You can call the police. But 9 times out of 10, you know, you ain't gonna be able to do nothing. We need to sit our kids down. Listen, auntie, uncle, mama, I don't care who you are. If the mama and the daddy not doing it, auntie, uncle, you see it. And a lot of times parents don't even want the aunts and the uncles to say anything. Now, my aunts and my uncles, they could say whatever to me. You know, my mother wasn't that mother and my dad wasn't that dad. If my aunt saw me doing something wrong, she was going to tell me. You know, she ain't had to wait till my mama got home. Mm. Well, tell your mama when she get home. She don't know waiting. My grandma ain't wait. My grandma whipped my tail.
How many parents do you feel like really pushing education? Pushing going to school. When your kid refuses to go to school, what are you doing? Are you allowing him to just lay at home and do nothing? Or are you allowing him to stay at home and do nothing? Are you calling truancy? You know, I teach my kids, you got natural consequences. When you do stuff, there are natural consequences. Toya is a teacher. She said, I definitely believe mental health needs to be in schools more. Some of my students deal with adult problems. And that's true. These kids got a lot going on. Adult problems, like you see, you know, back in the old days, you know that the oldest boy would have to quit school to go to work to help pay for, you know, help pay household bills in the family. That ain't stopped. Kids still do that, wondering if we're going to get sat out. You know, a lot of, like right now, they're putting a lot of people out that relied on that rent. You know, kids, they got stresses. They got real stresses. And sometimes they don't know how to take their stuff out. Now, some kids just bad. But then some kids, you know, they got real stresses. They got real things that are going on. But I don't know, like the teacher said, like they don't get help from the administrators or anything. It's like, we're not working together. Everybody's overwhelmed. Everybody's overworked. Everybody feel like they underpaid, you know, and not valued. If we ask how many teachers feel valued, how many of them would say they truly feel valued?
I don't know. It's an epidemic. I mean, I think sometimes when you look at the parent, sometimes I've seen a parent where I didn't know whether the parent was the parent or the brother or the sister, because they having them babies younger and younger. Yeah. And if you don't know how to handle your life, how the heck are you going to handle a baby?
Right. So Jayla said, I agree, between juggling two jobs to pay rent and bills and trying to graduate, it's a lot. And I think there should be more mental health services in colleges and in all schools. I think you're right, Jayla. And I thought I heard your mom said that she running out of money to pay for your college tuition.
I ain't gonna let you do Jayla like that. I'm not gonna let you do Jayla like that.
Another teacher said, a lot of my students had no male role model, so I think they looked up to the male teachers. Exactly kind of what I said. Even though I was different from their moms, I reminded them of their moms. They would say, I am their mama's age, and a lot of them had no respect for their mom. And I agree. I think that's true. Yeah. Matrina taught at Armstrong, which is now at Armstrong, which used to be our school, Kennedy. That's where she taught. One of the inner city schools.
Now, what I don't understand is, why don't you respect your mama?
Because mama don't respect herself. Mama don't respect me. Mama is not a typical mama. These days, they don't like our mamas. Ain't no big mama. Well, Bernie Mac said, great grandma 36, grandmama 25, great mama 36. You know, they still young. Come on, I ain't babysitting.
Don't call me grandma. You better call me grandma. I'm grandma.
No, these grandmas, they glamour, and don't nobody want to be called grandma. I'ma have my grandbabies call me grandma. What it is. You're a grandma.
I pray that I get some, but yeah. You don't call me grandma.
Call you grandma.
Call me grandma. And I'm not gonna wait for your mama to come home if you acting up or I see you acting up. I'm gonna take you to the corner and have a conversation.
Yeah,
now, I'm still gonna love you, but I'm gonna have a conversation with you because I'm a part of your life. I'm a part of your village. That's what I wanted to say. I think our kids have lost their village.
Yes, I agree, 100%. I agree with that 100%.
I had a huge village to include teachers and people at church. Let one of my church members see me out doing something crazy.
Right. Yeah, you would be scared for the teacher or somebody to call your mama back in the day. Don't call my mama. Please don't call my mama. The grandma used to be at the bus. The mama used to be at the bus stop waiting for you to call the bus when this teacher acting up,
Yeah. Girl, I would be like, oh God, somebody done told my mama something. I mean, like I said, I thought I died once. I did. I thought I died. And I came back to life. My mama beat me. Listen, I'm not saying my mama abused me, y'all. She did not abuse me, but she used to take care of that belt when the time was needed. And I didn't want nobody calling my mama to tell them nothing. Nothing. I might give you my lunch money if you ain't calling my mama.
The problem is it's so many layers. It's so many layers to this thing. A lot of the mamas, they overwhelm, especially if they work. You gotta work, and then I'm in a single parent home, or the reality of it is a lot of the parents are single parent homes. They trying to do everything, and it's overwhelming. So it's like you gotta pick and choose your battles. Sometimes it's latchkey kids. That's going home by themselves. It's a lot. The absent fathers, the young mothers, substance abuse, all the depression, parents with mental health stuff. So it's just so many different layers to it. It's not something, I don't know if it'll ever be any resolve. I don't know. Because it's so many different layers to it. You got to, attack each layer. You got to address each issue. How can we address the broken home or the fatherless homes?
You got to start somewhere, though. Like, for instance, with the school system, our teachers aren't getting paid enough to have to deal with what they deal with. They just not. So you pay another job six figures in one of the most important jobs out there, you paying them $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with your kid that you don't even want to deal with at home. And these kids are, they have ADD, they have anger issues, they have, I mean, they got everything.
Some of the classes are overcrowded.
And some of them got babies. I mean, you know, they already got a family that they got to take care of.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a shortage of teachers ever since the COVID. It's definitely a shortage of teachers, or the teachers are burned out and they leaving, you know.
I saw one interview where they're thinking about letting teachers have some type of protection in the classroom.
The right to bear arms. I know in some
places. I don't agree with that because I could see it. I could see it going left real quick. Real quick. But
so the issues are that they're not prepared financially. They're not prepared socially, academically.
It is. And then, you know, they go through college and then bam, it hit them. I gotta straighten up. My mom and I here. And let me tell y'all guys, here, I don't know about there, but here at the school that India is going to, Kennesaw State University, big up to KSU, hootie who, the parent can't do anything. I can't have access to anything unless my daughter agrees to it.
That's how it is in college.
You know, their freshman year, they don't want to give you no access. They think they can do it all. I go from not being prepared to bam, I got to handle everything. You got to grow up fast. You got to grow up real quick. And that's stressful for kids. And I can see how kids can go to school and, you know, come from a coddled life and then go to school and like, I can't do this. I mean, I understand.
Yeah. And we talked about this and I was talking to Trent too, with the credit. It took me a while to get my credit back in a decent space after they given a college student credit cards. Like, I mean, I guess we had to sign and accept it, you know, but we ain't know nothing about that. Ooh, you can give me this $700 limit on this card and, you know, I can use this and I ain't got to pay for $12 a month. I got $12. Let me go get this thing.
Well, you mean I got to pay this back? What?
Exactly. Thought it was free money.
It's free money.
Don't even talk about the student loans. Like, I don't even understand why our kids got to pay for higher education. At least, I think they were trying to do where at least community college was free. That you were trying to do community college for free, you get a nice trade. And we talked about this. College ain't for everybody.
It's not. I agree. It's not for everybody.
You get some good life experiences.
Like my one of my little, I call them my little girls, one of India friends. She's not going to college right now. She's doing something really, really smart, which I was supposed to do after I got out of high school. She's going into the Navy. She's going to be in there a couple of years, and the Navy is going to pay for her to go to school. And that's my route, too. My colonel has sat down with me, planned everything out. I was going to be a little different. I was going to college. I was going to be an Army ROTC, and they would pay for my schooling. And then after college, I would go into the Army as a lieutenant colonel. I mean, a lieutenant, not lieutenant colonel, lieutenant. And I got so grown in college that I didn't want to focus on that. I wanted to party, enjoy myself. Getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning and running was not going to be a thing for me. You had to do PT.
Yeah,
so I had to learn my lesson, and I came out, and I owed all these student loans, and I was like, "Dang, I should have did what I was supposed to do."
Do the school counselors really do that stuff? Help you prepare for college? Did our school counselors help us prepare for college like that?
My school counselor didn't. My ROTC colonel did. And India's counselor did help her. We had to do. You know, she advised us on what we needed to do.
Okay, so they still do that. I mean, I haven't been in the school system in I don't know why. I'm trying to think. I know J-Lo was telling me she had to take some course in finance or economic course in order to graduate. So I guess it is something that's helping them.
They do have to do a course. Some of them, yeah, because India did one, but some of them take economics. Economics is, I mean, it helps you, but it really doesn't get you, you know, where you need to be.
Okay, she said mainly focus on style. Oh, Trina, the teacher said economics and personal finance.
Right.
So what does that include? Is it credit, learning how to budget, job, you know, job, the ones that go out to work? Oh, the other teacher said the same thing, economics and personal finance is the class. So, and Jayla said she took that her senior year. Okay, so they are trying to do something there. And I thought she said you had to
test for it, though, because my daughter took it, and she don't know how to budget nothing. As soon as you give it to her, it's gone.
Teachers are talking about budgeting and credit and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes. It needs to be taught. These kids need to know about it. Because as soon as you go off to college, you need to tell that child, do not get a credit card. Mm-hmm. Repeat. Do not get a credit card.
No credit cards. Because the needs versus the wants, like, you mean to tell me I could buy anything on this credit card? I had Sherlin coats and boots and everything. I spent my little $700, and this was back in 1990, 91. So you know $700 was a lot back then for a college kid that was, I think I was working at McDonald's, but you know, one thing that my husband did was put my daughter, gave her a credit card, like added her on to credit card. Then her credit score was probably better than mine. That's one thing that we don't do to help our kids get that credit up. Give them a credit card. Give them a credit card and
make sure that, like, for instance, this is what I tell people and tell parents in my financial class when I'm coaching somebody that has a child. If you give them a credit card, make sure it's with a credit company that will allow you to limit their credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will look around and you will be like, why is my credit limit all used up? Because your child done went and used free money.
Yes. I think he may have, how much did he give you? $100 or $200, Jay? Just like an emergency credit card if you need gas or something like that, and to help you build your credit up. But one
very smart.
Yes. One thing is, like, our counterparts, they set their kids up to be successful. Why do we want our kids to struggle like we had to struggle? I don't want my kids to struggle like I had to struggle.
I want to give her a base. I'm not going to make her pay student loans. My mom did the best that she could, the absolute best that she could.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I had to pay student loans, and I knew that. But I don't want my child to have to pay student loans. Unless she decides to start flunking out, then you're going to come and get a job.
Right. But
while you're doing good, I'm going to go ahead and make that sacrifice for you.
Exactly. I'm going to pay hers so when I get older, she can pay mine. So she won't have any student loan. So Jayla, once you get older and you know, I'm in my 70s and still paying on my student loans, I want you to take over the payments.
70s. Listen, if you're going to be 70 and paying student loans, friend, you need to come to my financial coaching.
I'll be paying my student loans with my Social Security checks.
Girl, I got smart. I mean, I had a mentor when I got out of college. I had a mentor because I went into the National Association of Black Accountants. And I had somebody to adopt me, pretty much. And even though I was an accountant, y'all, I still did some crazy stuff. I knew how to count your money, but I still did some crazy stuff with my money. And I wanted to go off and get my MBA. So he pulled me to the side and he said, listen, one thing you need to do, and people always talk about don't job hop, don't do this, don't do that. And I agree. But when you go out there to get a job, and if you're in corporate America, I know everybody's not going to be in corporate America, But when you are in corporate America, get with a company that will pay. Some of them will pay for your BS degree. Mm. A company that will pay for your MBA or whatever your future college desires are. You will probably have to work with that company for a certain amount of years. But if you're working for a company that you want to work for, it will benefit you. I worked for Philip Morris at the time. It wasn't as taboo as it is now, but they paid for me to get my MBA, and I worked with them for quite a few years, and it paid off. I didn't have to pay a thing; they paid everything. So I suggest that you do that, unless you go from getting your BS or your bachelor's degree on to getting your MBA without a job in between. That's something else. But I would suggest that.
Yeah, definitely looking for a job with your benefits and 401k, tapping into that soon. I didn't start my 401k probably till a couple of years ago, you know, and that's crazy. I'm in my 40s, almost 50 years old, and didn't have a 401k. Probably because I worked in fields where it wasn't offered, but still I could have done it separately, but I ain't had no money to put into no 401k plan. I was living paycheck to paycheck, you know? So when you know better, you do better. When you can't afford it, you do better.
That's why I suggest people, you know, grab onto our young people. Somebody grabbed onto me. And when I tell you, he didn't let me go. He did not let me go. In this organization, I became the president of the organization. I traveled on this organization. They paid for all my travel. So I got to see the world for free. Mm. You know, if there's a young person in your life, whether it's a niece, a little cousin, I tell all my little cousins, look, sit down, let's talk about finances. They know they can call me. Mm. Help children out, because yes. A lot of them think that they are prepared, and they think that they don't want to hear you or talk to you. But when things start happening to them, they will remember. Oh, my mama told me this. Oh, my grandma told me this. My aunt told me this. I learned from a very young age about money and how hard people work for it. I learned from a very young age by just watching people. Mm-hmm. My grandmother. I watched my mother. I watched my family members. I was a watcher. I observed. And that's how I learned a lot of things. Now, did I use all of those? No, but I can't say that I didn't learn it. Mm-hmm. So we need to reach back and help. You know, like you see somebody on the street and you're like, oh, that ain't none of my business. No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Person needs help. You know, help them if you can. Can't help everybody, but you can help everybody.
So I think the kids who are ready to thrive in the world have the parents that are completely invested in their personal, their mental health, their social, you know, and their education. It's a holistic point of view. You can't just have one. You know, kids need socialization. Kids need to make sure that their mental health is right. Kids need education. Kids need, you know, all of that kind of stuff. They need parents that are invested in them. Teachers that are invested in them. Huh?
I just had an idea.
What's that?
Maybe Inspire Her needs to go into some of these camps during the summer and see if we can talk to or see if they allow us to talk to some kids. Just start out.
They have a lot of different camps.
Mentally, you know, helping them understand some of the issues that they're going through, that they can talk to people. That's something you can do. And financially, I can help them understand how to save their little pennies. Mm-hmm. That's something to think about.
It is something to think about. I was trying to pull into the kids and, you know, mentorship and that kind of stuff. And even if they have parents that are invested, sometimes they don't feel comfortable talking to their parent about everything that's going on or the parent may not know or have the knowledge. So I think that's a good idea. We definitely got to pay it forward and pour back into our community.
One of the things that I also want to say to parents, because I'm guilty of this, so I'm talking to myself and I'm talking from my own experience. We need to learn to listen to our kids, because they're going through a lot more stuff than we used to. You know, now kids are doing a lot more stuff than we are. They're experiencing a lot more stuff than we did in the past. They're allowed to do a lot more stuff than we did in the past. And sometimes kids don't feel like they can come and talk to their parents, because the parents gonna tell you what you should do, mm-hmm. what you can't do, what you must do if you're living in the house with them. And we don't often get the opportunity to listen to our kids. And now I'm starting to listen to my daughter, and I told her, you know, you can talk to me about anything. And she was like, you sure? You want me to talk to you about anything? And I do. I want her to talk to me about anything, even if I'm a little
uncomfortable.
I still want you to feel like you can come and talk to me. Because when they don't have anybody to talk to, that's when they feel alone, rejected. They just feel like, you know, they don't have anybody to talk to, and they go into themselves. And that's what I saw a lot of kids doing during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Or get bad advice from other kids.
Mm-hmm. Get advice from people that you shouldn't be seeking advice from.
You know, Black parents, we yell, well, all parents, mothers, we tend to yell a lot at our kids, or, you know, don't have a lot of patience because of what we're going through. And, you know, you could have had an argument with your husband or your boyfriend, and kid come and you end up taking it out on the kid. So it definitely is a conscious effort to make sure that your mindset is right and that you stopping and listening. I'm sure I'm guilty of it too, being agitated or with somebody and taking it out on the kids and stuff, agitated at work, frustrated at work, taking it out on the kids. So we got to check ourselves, like you said.
Yeah. And we got to create villages for these kids. Make sure they understand they got somebody to talk to, even if they can't talk to their mom and their dad, and give them a safe space. Now, I'm going to tell you, my goddaughter here, I will tell her mom that I'm talking to her or I talk to her, but I might not tell you what I talked to her about. Mm-hmm. Because you trust me to be a godmother, you trust me that I'm going to help her do what's best.
Right. And don't be afraid to get your kids counseling. If you feel like you just don't have the wherewithal and you just got so much stuff going on, you overwhelmed, you know, reach out to professional help. Reach out to your church, you know, to kind of get some of that help and support. And know that you're not by yourself. You know, a lot of times we don't want to say nothing because we don't want people in our business, and we don't want people knowing what's going on, what goes on in this household. That antiquated, you know, stuff. I mean, I just think that there's support and help out here that we need to begin to tap into.
And half the stuff didn't even stay in the household back then.
Mm.
Everybody knew your business and you didn't even know they knew it.
You know, a lot of people are lacking, like a lot of kids, teachers, parents. Sometimes we don't have the right coping skills.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Everybody that's a teacher should not be a teacher.
Everybody should not be a parent. Yes.
You think just because you can, you should, and that's not always true, especially if you can't afford it. Look, if you know you can't afford kids, wait. Do what you need to do to make sure you're waiting.
Yeah.
I could afford kids. I had a great job when I got out of college, but I knew I wasn't ready. I needed to do some me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even plan to have a child when I did, but I wanted her at that time. Mm-hmm. In my 20s, I would have been like, oh Lord, I'm having a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I found out, I was like, okay, it's a different circumstance. But yeah, I'm ready. I got this. Be able to handle children. That's the main thing. Because sometimes you have kids because your husband want to have kids, or you have, or you make a mistake, and well, it ain't a mistake. You do some things to have kids.
Right. Kids change you. They definitely change you. Mostly for the better, I hope. Yeah.
Probably some people don't change. And then the child gets the brunt end of it. If you ain't able to accommodate your child, it's a problem. You know? My girlfriend, she's a truant officer. And she told me she went home to see, because the kid hadn't been at school in a while. And she went home and wasn't nobody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Get in touch with the parents. The boy had been living by himself.
What? Wow.
The boy had been living by himself.
Where did he do that at? Living by himself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of kids are raising themselves.
The mama, I don't know, she was living with her boyfriend, or she was staying with her boyfriend most of the time, and the little boy and the boyfriend didn't get along, so he was staying at the house. And
how often does that happen, a person choosing their woman or man over their kids?
Often, to be honest.
Oh, too often. That's often.
Often. We need to, at the end of the day, we just need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, teachers, principals, the village, aunts, uncles, cousins, don't be afraid to get in somebody's business if you see something that ain't right.
It's easier said than done on these streets, though. I guess you gotta, it's how you approach the situation, it's how you approach it. You know, you see kids doing something, you look at them, a lot of times they will be respectful. I've never had a kid, just a stranger that I'll say, and they've been disrespectful. I think it's how you approach them too.
Yeah. I mean, you don't approach them, now, if they throwing stuff at your car and hitting your car or something, but you don't approach me like, now, I approached this little boy. I said, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Why are you doing that? And I had a smile on my face. I was like, you know you shouldn't be doing that. He's like, yes, ma'am. I don't know whether he went back to doing it after I left, but he stopped and walked away.
Right. Or you hear him cursing or running with the pants down. You might say something to him. Boy, you better pull them pants up before you fall, you know. And they pull them up. So they do listen.
It's just... I think a lot of times kids will respond how you respond to them. And sometimes there's history behind it. Because I don't think kids want to go out here and be bad.
Mm.
It's all in how they're being raised, what they're being allowed to do. I think all kids want to be loved.
Yes, and they want discipline, whether they,
right?
Because discipline means love. You know, you discipline a child, that shows them that you love and you care about them. Allowing them to do what they want to do, yeah, it sounds cute. I don't have no, my mama let me do whatever, or my daddy let me do whatever. It sounds cool, but at the end of the day, kids want discipline because discipline equals love.
Right.
Their concern. So
they want you to beat it. My daughter, she will act like she don't care about us coming to an event. But let me and her dad not be there. She calling us on the phone. Y'all coming? Y'all going? And she looking around to see where we at. Kids, they want you to be a part of their life. They want structure, really.
They do want structure and the discipline too.
So.
Because it shows that you care.
And we, as adults, we need to do better by our children. The ones in college, too.
Yep. Because they're not ready. Nope.
They not. And I'm going to stay on my daughter back. I mean, I know. People say I'm a little tough on India, but.
You know what? Somebody said that. Are we tougher? Women are tougher on their girls than they are on their boys. And I think that I've been told a lot of times that I'm harder on my daughter than I am on my sons. And I think
they're going to have to deal with in the real world.
We teach our daughters to be strong young women. And, you know, I think, yeah. But are we setting them up to be too masculine?
Let's have that conversation briefly. Now, had I not been trained to be able to handle myself around all kinds of people, when I got into corporate America, I would be the only woman in a conference room and the only Black person in a conference room. Mm. Imagine how that make you feel. You got people talking over you. You got people. And I had to get to the point where I had to reinforce myself. I had to let people know I'm here. Financial information comes from me. You have to listen to me. You know, so my parents being hard on me, teachers making sure that I had structure at school, that I was doing what I needed to do, they prepared me for what I needed to be prepared for. So I think that that's a twofold conversation, because you have women that go out into the world and are very naive. They get taken advantage of. And then you have some women that have an equal balance. Mm.
I was talking to somebody today, and I think, you know, we really just kind of mismanaged, or whatever this word, submissive. I think when we think submissive, we think sit down and shut up, don't say nothing, or you don't have a voice or anything like that. I don't look at that being submissive, but some people do. When men say, oh, well, they want that woman to be submissive, that's the first thing that comes to our mind is, oh, you just don't want me to have a voice. You don't want me to say nothing. You don't want me to do X, Y, and Z. And I don't think it's that. I think it's, I want you to allow me to be the man and trust in me that I'm going to handle this and I'm going to take care of this and be that support. But you can still be, can you still be a strong woman and submissive? Can you be a strong, submissive woman? I think you can, but what do you think? What do you ladies think? Can you be strong and submissive at the same time?
I think you can. Mm-hmm. But I also think that in order for a woman to a woman that's been that person that took care of things, in order for you to be that person, that man has to come and let you know that they got it under control.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need to see. Do we allow him to see? Do we allow him to show us that? How we get to allow him to show us that?
First of all, he got to have it together all on his own. If you ain't got it together all on your own, how you gonna come take care of me and mine? Mm-hmm. That's why I tell the men that I date, or people in general, friends, I'm an observer. You will catch me sitting back saying absolutely nothing, because I'm watching. I'm watching how you handle things. I'm watching how you handle your family. I'm watching how your kids treat you. I'm watching as friends. I'm watching how you treat other people. I'm watching what you come back and tell me. What you go and tell that person? Are you in drama all the time? I am watching people that are in my circle. So before you can get in my circle and have me depend on you, you already proved it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for instance, you. If I'm having a bad day, it ain't nothing for me to do. Say, hey, you got a minute?
Mm-hmm.
I trust that what I tell you is not going to go outside of our conversation. And you've proved that time and time again. I done told you some really, really personal stuff. And I have not heard it come back to me yet. So once you prove that to me, once that man proves that I can just woo-saw, sit back, and things will happen, you got me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I want that. I pray for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you how old now, and you ain't got time for what?
I ain't got time for drama. I ain't got time for your issues. I just don't have time for the mess.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to take the role of the man away from the man.
I don't.
But I guess you're going to have to show and prove that you're capable of doing this.
And we get into a whole nother subject, but they think that we want to take the role from them. And we don't. You just haven't proved that you could handle it yet. I got a lot. You know what I got? I mean, I got a lot of people that depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
So my world can't break up just because I met somebody. It's got to be, for me, it has to be able to be a smooth transition.
Correct. Yeah, how you like Letticy's song? How you gonna add to me?
How you gonna add to me?
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask the same question, baby. How you gonna add to me? How will you add to me?
Mm-hmm. Don't take it from me. Add to me. I mean, it seems off topic, but not so much, because this is helping them to develop and create our future. You know, I was listening, you know, just singing the words to Whitney Houston's song, I believe the children are our future, and teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. I mean, when you listen to those words, it's really profound. That's why that song was so big, The Greatest Love of All.
Right.
Remember the words?
I do. And people, we just, you know, the other thing is that we got to have good examples. Because we can, as much as we can say we're not looking out there for examples, we are. Our kids are.
We are. And that's why it's frustrating when you hear people, I don't want to be a role model, but you are. Whether you want to be or not, you are.
Somebody looking at you.
LeBron James is a role model, whether he wants to be or not. He is.
You got kids looking up to you. You are a role model. You got kids, you got grown people that look at you every day. I put inspirational stuff out on my page every day. I get messages that said, thank you, Felicia, I needed that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you read my post. I didn't know you were looking for this stuff from me every day. I just do it because it makes me feel good, or it's something that I looked at that spoke to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm sharing it.
And when they don't see it, okay, well, I missed this. I missed my morning thing. Or, you know, like you said, your aunt, Valerie, good morning, my sweet niece. She tells that to you every day.
Every day.
And if she didn't say it, you would definitely miss it. Like, hold on, Aunt Valerie ain't sent me no text today. Good morning. You look forward to that.
And she don't know this, because I may not like it every day. I mean, but having, she's been supporting me since day one. And she's been supporting our podcast, I think, since day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, my family, I've been blessed on both sides. My family believes in me, and they believe that I can do anything I put my mind to. Everybody don't have that. And I feel for people who don't have that. Like I was telling you before, our girlfriend Tanya, she didn't believe that Savannah, Georgia existed. She knows my family in Virginia, but she didn't believe that Savannah, Georgia existed. Because I used to always talk about my family in Georgia. Y'all knew my family in Virginia, but I used to always talk about Georgia dirt roads. And every summer, I was going to Georgia. Every summer. And she was like, girl, I have to be honest, I ain't believe it. I ain't believe you had all this family down there until she came and spent Thanksgiving with me. And she saw it. You know, and in my mind, I used to think everybody had that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had these big, happy extended families. And, you know, you have Thanksgiving and you got the grandma that loves on you and the aunts. Everybody don't have that.
They don't. They don't.
And you know, they adopt people that have become special in their lives, a teacher, a coworker, somebody from the older lady at church, you know, family. And I just want people to be a little bit more open, you know, a little bit more open to people who need family, who need conversation, who just need a friend. You know, because it's difficult in this world.
It is. We do need a support system. And, you know, just kind of putting away any old issues and conflict and stuff that you have with people and or family and stuff. If it can be resolved, you know, just kind of work on resolving. In the grand scheme of things, ask yourself, is it really that serious or was it really that serious?
And at the end of the day, it never is.
Not at all.
It is.
And I always say forgiveness is for you and not the other person, because you walk around mad at that person and they going on about their life, ain't thinking about you. But every day you thinking about them and angry and upset because of whatever they did to you, and they like could care less.
And if you anything like me, I done forgot why you was mad at me.
Right.
Girl, you mad at me? Oh, shoot. What I did? I don't forgot why you, because I don't stay mad at people for long for some reason.
That's a good thing. Don't hold grudges and can let stuff go. Some people can't let stuff go.
I mean, I either let you go or I just forget about it. Because if it's that bad, I'm probably going to let you go.
Right.
You know, I don't have time to focus on that because I got too much living to do.
Right.
You know, I'm halfway. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I'm over halfway there probably. Unless I live to be 100 and something.
Got more years now than ahead of you.
But anyway, guys, tonight we came on here to talk about our children and making sure they're ready to thrive in the real world. And we have come to the conclusion that we don't think that all kids are ready to thrive. So we're simply asking you, if you are a teacher, a principal in the school system, family members outside the school system, if you see that child and that child is going left or right, not on course, grab them, talk to them. There could be a kid in your summer camp that you see may not be doing so well. You know, talk to them, ask them a couple questions. I know, you know, some parents don't want you in their business, but sometimes the kids need you.
Yeah.
And we got to create these villages again. So we're just asking you to hold on, work with the kids. Sometimes they are fighting you out of anger or something that's going on in their life, like Sharita said. You know, maybe sit that child down if possible. I'm not saying, you know, go into a dangerous situation where you got a child that's ready to wail on you. Because some of these kids in these videos, they know how to fight. I'm not asking.
A very small percentage.
I hope. So protect yourself. Listen, I'm just trying to talk to you, you know. It is a very, very serious matter, but we just ask, you know, hang in there with our kids, because especially our kids, because we already start off. I'm going to just say it. We already start off at a different level, you know, we should try to help our kids, have a step up. Not a step down, if you can. There are some kids that need actual counseling and medicine. We do understand that.
But or for the, in school.
But for those that you can help, and it may mean helping the parent too.
It's definitely gonna be helping the parents.
So,
but we appreciate all of the teachers out there, you know, doing your best under whatever circumstances you are working in. I know it's a lot, so we appreciate you guys for working with the kids.
Thank you. I commend teachers every single day. I don't know if I can do it.
It's got passion. It's got to be your passion. You got to have a passion for kids. You got to have a passion for that.
Yep. But anyway, guys, listen, you have all of our love, all of our, we're just there with you. We understand what you're going through. I'm talking to our teachers and to those who work with kids. We understand what you're going through, and we commend you for it. If I had something I could give all the teachers, I would. I appreciate you. Those are those ones that are doing their jobs and willing to help. And those that are a little bit burnt out, get some of that self-love time and hang in there if that's what you want to do. But if not, if you burned out and you do not want to be a teacher anymore, find another job. Because our kids need teachers, principals, people that want to be there. So
absolutely. And we thank you guys for sharing your thoughts and stuff. We definitely appreciate it. And we are going to say
we are here to inspire her, the total woman.
Yay.